Hi, and welcome to the Vine Community Church podcast. We hope that what you're about to hear will help you to flourish in God's grace and bear fruit through loving God, loving each other, and loving our community.
My name is Tim Barton, and I'm the lead pastor here at the Vine. We began a series a few weeks ago, two Sundays ago, and as we've made this this change at lead pastor, and I want to be clear for those of you that don't know, haven't heard this yet, Pastor John will remain. He'll come back after a three-month sabbatical and be on staff part-time. We're excited about that and all that God's going to use him and he and Lizanne to continue to do here. So I do want to say that. And then also say that as we've walked through this, one of the things that we talked about as we begin this season, we had these 3 weeks before the ministry year began. And as we begin this season and close the season we've been in, we wanted to ask that for all of you, that you with us would begin this season in prayer. And so what we've done over the last few weeks is we've talked about humble prayer 2 weeks ago. Last week we talked about persistent prayer. And so that humble prayer, that recognizing that we pray because we have a need. We have a need before the Lord for him to move and to work. And he doesn't owe us anything. We need to come to him, asking him to work. And then persistent prayer, that we are persistently asking God for the things that he tells us in his word are good for us. And so in those two things that we're doing that, and today we're going to come and we're going to talk about praying with a thankful heart or thankful prayer. So what I want to do, just go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 4. And in Colossians chapter 4, we're just going to read three verses today. It's verses 2 through 4 of Colossians 4. Paul's talking here to the church in Colossae, so to the Colossian peak Christians. And here's what he says. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, this is God's word. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. And when we do these sermon series and we're kind of bouncing around a little bit the different passages, it's important that I just pause for a minute and give you the context of that Paul writes this in. You see in verse 3 that he says, he talks about pray that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison. So, right at the time of this writing, Paul's actually in house arrest, but let me tell you how he got there real quick. He had in Acts chapter 21 through 24, if you want to read this later, you can. Paul had gone to, or was getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And as he's getting ready to go, the Holy Spirit tells him that you're going to, as you go, you are going to face imprisonment. You're going to face chains. And Paul, this is very paraphrased, is saying, okay, and I'm going because I care about these people. So he gets to Jerusalem. The very people he cares about are the people that, as a religious mob, seek to lynch him and get him put in prison. And then he goes through these trials and their unjust claims. If we watched it, and it was a movie, we'd be like, that isn't right, as the way it unfolded. And so Paul then, in prison, is then moved into house arrest in Rome with the imperial guard, that is the guard of Caesar, who are, they're guarding him. That means that Paul is, it's not like there's, we think about house arrest and it's like, well, we're in the house doing what we want to, and maybe the guard's right outside the door just making sure we don't leave. Actually, it's a guard is chained to him 24/7 on shifts. So that means while Paul eats, while Paul sleeps, while Paul goes to the bathroom, while Paul writes letters, while Paul dictates letters for others to write, this whole time there is a guard chained to him. That's right there. Now, cool fact, we know from other parts of Scripture that God takes that, and that it says that, Paul says that many in Caesar's household of this imperial guard end up believing. But that's for another sermon. This is what's happening. And if I was in Paul's place, and I'm going to write to another church, a church that I'm trying to encourage, but I'm asking them to pray for me, what do you think would be on top of mind in my prayer? Lord, please get me out of this situation. I hope that wouldn't be top of mind, but it's not far-fetched to think that it would be. Lord, please change this circumstance. Please get me out of this situation. And that's not wrong. That wouldn't have been wrong for Paul to pray. And maybe he did. It just didn't make scripture. I don't know. But look, what we want to see today is, what did he pray? What did he ask them to do in prayer? And in this, we're going to see, in verse 2, we're going to see three characteristics of Paul's prayer, or what Paul's asking them to pray. And I think those should be characteristics of our prayer. And then we'll look after that at the actual prayer itself briefly. So the first one is that we are to continue, he's telling the Colossians, and therefore we are to continue steadfastly in prayer. It's the beginning of verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, pretty straightforward. All right, let's talk about that for a minute. When we talk about continuing steadfastly in prayer, the phrase there is indicating that something that is marked with devotion, something that is constant. And so it's this idea of, I'm setting myself apart to, my life is going to be characterized by continuing in prayer. It's going to be characterized by prayer. Why? Because we go back to the last 2 weeks, I recognize my need. Why? Because we believe there's a God who can work, but it's going to be characterized by prayer. And so it's to apply oneself wholeheartedly to it and to continue in it. You remember Andrew said last week, ask, seek, knock. This persistent devotion to prayer, this consistent posture or demeanor of waiting upon the Lord in prayer. But I do want to clarify that this is not just talking about emphasizing an emotional experience of prayer. Prayer can be very emotional, and that's okay. But what this is going further in is saying there needs to be a duty and a discipline in it. Now, most of you have heard the saying, some of you kids may not have, but most of you have heard the saying that there's no atheist in a foxhole, or in a foxhole it's not prayerless, right? When we know our need, when we see a need in front of us, there are many people all throughout the world who in that moment will pray. They may not even know what they're praying to, but they will pray, right? What this is talking about is prayer that comes from a heart that is open to God and open to what you're asking God to work in you. When that's the case, we will continue steadfastly in it in a devoted way, because we're expecting that the God who can hear our prayers will hear our prayers, and that he will work through those prayers. And as that happens, what emerges is a grateful heart that's built upon learning the character of God over time. If you've not been doing that, if I've not been doing that, then when we try to pray in the middle of the really hard stuff and we don't know the character of who God is, it's going to feel like the prayers are just maybe not even reaching the roof. I also want to, that's speaking of us personally, I also want to address as a church that the absence of this type of prayer will greatly hinder our personal walks with the Lord, but it'll also hinder our work for him and our walk with him and what he's called us to do as a church. If prayer doesn't proceed as well as accompany all the work that he's called us to, it will become nothing but a work of man or a work of woman. And when it's only that, there's a big variation of it being capably done, a big variation of agitation and frustration. And what it usually results in is just weariness, because we're just trying to do it ourselves. Some of you may remember that we had a prayer conference, I think in early February, and one of the things we did with that prior to the prayer conference was we were encouraged to read the prayer book by O. Halsby, a pastor, theologian, author, professor, who's a lot of things. But he quotes in there, he says, "There is no substitute for prayer in the kingdom of God. We all need to be reminded of this because it's easy to look at it in the opposite way, that there's many substitutes. And then this will be on the screen for you. He continues. He said, we are inclined to think that when we are really busy about the work of the kingdom of God, then we can, without danger, spend less time in prayer. This way of thinking is in our very blood. It is therefore necessary for the Spirit of God to burn into our hearts this mystery that the most important work we have to do is that which must be done on our knees with God, away from the bustle of the world and the plaudits of men. This work is the most important of all. Now, let me say that another way, kind of in our language. Okay. We can have many people here. We can have plenty of seats here. We can have ministries growing in great number and all these things happening. We can have many meetings to help sustain all that stuff. But it may mean if we are not in this posture of prayer that we have nothing lasting. And so we need to begin this season with prayer. And we need to continue steadfastly in it. Now, let me just acknowledge that this is not something new that you're hearing right now. Pastor John has been saying this, our elders have been saying this for years. We've been calling each other to this. I'm just hoping, that for some of us, we need to hear this today. And maybe it's kind of like, you know, kids, when you go and your parents have been telling you something and they've been telling you something and you're not hearing them, and then someone else says something and you finally hear it. Your parents know what I'm talking about. Y'all, sometimes we need to hear that from one another. And we need to hear it from multiple places, and we need to hold one another accountable to that. And so I want to ask you to join us in continuing steadfastly in prayer and waiting upon God, learning from Him, looking to Him to work in us and through us. And here's what's great is as we do that, we'll see the next characteristic of prayer develop, and that is we'll be watchful in prayer. Now, this watchful thing has two different meanings. The first one is, I mean, not two different meanings, but kind of two emphases. One of those is, as we be watchful in prayer, it's like we're expectant for God to do things, so we're watching to see that He is going to do it. Right? And this word is even deeper than that. So this word, be watchful, the word watchful comes from the Greek word gregorio. I don't usually tell you the actual Greek word. I just think that's fun to say. It comes from the Greek word gregorio. So if you have the name Gregory, here's what that means. It means to be alert, to be awake. That's the literal translation of what this word gregorio means. So be alert, be awake in prayer. Now, as we see that unfold throughout Scripture, it emphasizes that we are to have this attentiveness, this awareness, this caution, and that we should take heed lest some destructive calamity suddenly overtake us. All that's kind of caught up in this word, be watchful. Now, when we say that, it probably rings a bell with some of you, all right, when we say be watchful. Do you remember Jesus saying that at any time? Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? And so that's after Jesus has been in the upper room with the disciples, and Jesus, after Judas, he says, someone's going to betray me. Judas goes out. Now Jesus is in the garden prior to his crucifixion, and he's in the garden with Peter, James, and John, and he says, remain here while I go and pray. Well, as Jesus comes back, here's what he finds and what he says. Mark chapter 14, verses 37 and 38, he says, and he, Jesus, came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so Jesus says here, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. You need to be watchful, Peter, us. We need to be watchful, or we'll be overtaken by temptation. We need to be watchful or we will fall. not simply fall to sleep. That was what was going on, but Jesus is using that for something bigger. He's saying we'll fall in weakness and in sin. And we know from other parts of God's word that that's what the evil one wants. Right? So just bear with me for a minute. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that. He's actually speaking to the elders, but it applies to all of God's people. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, what does that mean? It means he wants us to fall into sin. It means he wants to bring shame and destruction. He prowls around seeking someone to devour, someone to rob joy from. Now, for followers of Jesus, I do want to say this too. That is 100% true. Kids in here, you know, it sounds scary when we talk about Satan prowling around, right? Maybe it's not just kids. For a lot of us, that sounds scary. But I want to say that's real. And he does seek to do that. And I want to say this, other promises from Scripture, is that if you are a follower of Jesus, what Satan cannot do is take you out of his hand. He cannot take you out of the Father's hand. He cannot pull you from the Father's hand. What he can do is rob joy. What he can do is cause so much destruction and pain and hurt in your life, in the life of your family, and those you interact with. Sin has ripple effects, and it hurts. And as believers, we're not immune to that. And so he says, be watchful. Be watchful in thanksgiving. And keep coming back to him, because he also says that nothing can snatch you out of the Father's hand. If you are truly following him, and when we are repentant and we return to him, he receives us with open arms. You still got to work through the consequences on earth, but he receives us. And so we don't let our guard down. To live freely in sin, to live contrary to what God commands, to live contrary to what he tells us is good for us in this world. And we don't let our guard down and begin to care more as a church. Well, you know what? Let me pause for just a minute. Let me say this. When I say we don't let our guard down and what God commands, I'm just going to pause for a minute, because it's very easy for us right now, and I'm talking about all of us, for us to stop and think about who needs to hear that. But I want to challenge you. We all need to hear that. Lord, don't let me let my guard down. We all need that. And then now let me keep going. If we as a church let our guard down, what would that look like? It would look like us beginning to care more about looking like our culture than we do about being true to God's word. If we were to let our guard down, it would be taking credit for work God is doing among us, suggesting that we are where we are because of what we have done or because of what we have accomplished. We cannot let our guard down and fall into those things. For you, when you go into your family, you can't let your guard down. We think that, well, once I get home, and guys, we're mostly prone to this. Women are too, but I'm going to talk to the guys for a minute. We kind of think, well, when I get home, I've been working hard all day, so I deserve to be, I'm going to use this word in here today, I deserve to just kind of do what I want to do and have my way and have someone serve me. Great blessing if you have that, but that you deserve it is a lie from the pit of hell. Don't let your guard down. We're on guard when we go home. We're on guard when we're interacting with our children. Any of you ever been angry with your children? There's just anger, so don't misunderstand me, but that's usually not where we come from. Don't let your guard down. Be watchful in it. And I can keep going, but I won't. I'll spare you right now. All that sounds scary, right? It sounds negative. I might have told you at the beginning this is kind of a celebration Sunday, and we're going to get there. That sounds scary. But the beautiful thing is, that a big part of the way we're to be watchful in prayer, that we're to continue steadfastly in prayer, is to be thankful in prayer. And that's the third characteristic we see here. You see it at the end of verse 2, with thanksgiving. Now, if I ask you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, I'm not going to ask you to shout this out, but just stop and think for a minute. What percentage of your prayer life revolves around thankfulness to God? Some of you are real good at math, and so you actually started thinking about percentages. The way I think about percentages is, okay, if I'm praying 10 times, what percentage of that? What, is that one time, two times, 10 times? What is it? When I talk to people, this is often the hardest part of prayer. Because we pray because we have need, right? But what he tells us to do as we continue steadfastly into prayer is to have this heart, this demeanor of thankfulness to God. Now, you may look around right now and it's like, Tim, if you knew all the circumstances going on in my life right now, you would know why it's really hard for me to say thank you to God right now. I'm asking you, I'm encouraging you to make it a practice, to make it a duty, to make it a discipline, not because it makes you better before the Lord, but because it is walking in what he says is good for us. It is creating thankfulness in our hearts for who he is. It is creating a trust of his character and his work. And you know, I think many of us, if you think about it, what's the greatest thing we have to be thankful for if you're a Christian today? Salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ, that though we deserved eternal separation and the wrath of God, that God has saved us through the work of his Son, Jesus. That God has given us his Spirit and told us that we have power to be watchful, that we have power to battle this sin that's within us. And I think if I really walked around and asked, right? If I walked around and asked you, you would probably say, just like me, I'm very thankful I have Jesus. And you know, sometimes when you work with children and kids, if I really pressed you on this right now, you know, it's like, yes, I'm thankful I have Jesus. I don't want to go to hell. And that is true. And that is good. And that is right. But what about, are you thankful? Can you find ways to be thankful even when you don't feel like God is holding up his end of the bargain? You are going, if you haven't yet, you will have times in your life where you feel like God is not holding up his end, where you feel like your prayers are just kind of getting stuck. Are you asking him to make you thankful that he is present no matter the circumstances you're going through? If you remember Andrew's sermon from last week, and I will say this, if you didn't, I strongly encourage you to go listen to it. I'm not even saying about that from my sermon from 2 weeks ago. Andrew's sermon from last week, if you didn't hear it, please go listen to it. It's on the website. He reminded us that we're to be persistent in prayer and that our Father loves to give us good things. And that those good things he's talking about are the things that are aligned with his word. He'd been talking about the Sermon on the Mount, but then aligned with his word as a whole as well. That those are the good things he loves to give us. We want to define the good things. But he says to pray for those things. And as he shows us those things, we can give thanks to him. But you know what else is crazy? One of those things that he says to pray for is, and that he says to pray in, is thankfulness. So let me give you a couple scriptures that you probably all know, but Philippians 4:6, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that your request be known to God. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And y'all, some of us are stubborn. I would say we're all stubborn at certain times in our life, at different seasons. And because we might feel that we've earned more than this from God, we have a hard time stopping and giving thanks. And even if it's just this tiny little thread that we can find, he says it's a discipline for us. Because God is gracious and merciful and good to his people, even when we don't feel it. So we need to have these lives that are grateful to him. You know, one of my things as a pastor is that I can become so aware of things that are going on. I pray for compassion every day. And I can become so aware of things that are going on in our congregation that it feels heavy, that I feel, well, we need to keep moving forward. We've got to deal with this. We've got to help with this. We need to get people in place for this. And there's all this going on. And it can be hard for me. We get to the end of a ministry year like we are today. It can be hard for me to stop and say, Lord, thank you. We're constantly looking forward, but thank you for what you've done. And so I want us to stop right now in the middle of the sermon, and I don't know that I've ever done this before. And what we're going to do is watch a short video from this past year. In this, you're going to see pictures of things that that God has done in this year in us, God has done through us. And then I'll come back and we'll celebrate those together in just a moment. So just watch this, enjoy, and I'll come back in just a moment.
I'm in a man I didn't know.
Thank you, Lord. You know, as those you watch that, there's a lot of just pictures scrolling through the screen. You're probably like, it took me a little bit to remember what all those things were. I'm going to just walk through a couple of them for a second. And that is, you know, in that video, you saw a youth winter retreat where students were just growing through that. We saw a student panel for a parent night. We're trying to encourage and help parents understand what students are going through. We saw prayer for students and children. You saw youth D groups and celebrations going on in there. Saw children's ministry growth. Saw pictures from Family Bible Camp. In that, there was the greening of the vine, which is just a great thing. We get to do gathering together each year. Operation Christmas Child and serving together. Saw youth and children's led worship times. You know, there was a prayer and fundraiser event for Vajiji, the orphanage we support. In there was serving at Hope Link. There were women's events, men's events. You saw a picture. You probably noticed a lot of those pictures had food in them. We like food. You saw a picture of some of our hospitality team in different places serving and just caring behind the scenes for us. You know, in that there was landscape days serving together. There was service to the Silverleaf community, this neighborhood behind us. I had to get oriented. This neighborhood back here behind us. Mission trips to Peru, to Kenya, to Clarkston. You know, we saw even through 15 Acres how we're seeing God both continue in this relationship with the fort and moving towards building a foster home on our property and caring for that. We saw the pavilion and ways we're trying to gather people. We saw Radiant Life, a ministry to the Indian community trying to gather people in. You didn't know you saw all that, did you? We saw a celebration of Pastor John and 22 years of just faithful service. And we saw God's, in all that, you see God's protection for our church during a change of lead pastors. So you got all this stuff going on. And we rejoice. And we give God thanks for those things. So I want to ask you right now, just to practice that for a minute. There's going to be a list of all those things I just said on the screen behind me. It'll scroll. This is in two slides. And I want you just to turn to somebody next to you with your family, with somebody you don't know, that's fine. But I just want you to pause for a few minutes and just say thank you. If you're visiting with us and you're willing to say thank you, Lord, for this work you're doing in the kingdom at the Vine, we'd love to have you join us in praying that as well. But this is what the Lord is doing. And we want to pause and give him thanks. And then I'll come back and wrap this up. So pray. I'll come close us in just a few moments. Lord, we say thank you. I know we could, many of us could continue praying and thanking you for all that you've done. But Lord, thank you. And we thank you most of all, Lord, for the love you have poured out upon us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray it in his name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com, download our mobile app, or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.